is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Is it just me, or is that romance aisle at Barnes & Noble kind of sad? It's Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, who's on vacation, getting some R&R. Have you ever passed by in a bookstore the romance aisle? I mean, I don't ever go through and pick through it. But you always walk through on your way somewhere else, and you see these middle-aged ladies going through, and they're sorting through all of these books with Fabio or someone on the cover, picking this woman up and carrying her over the threshold. And you think, you know, there's something kind of sad about that, about someone who's really wanting to come and get whisked away into this world of romance. And then I happen to walk into a Christian bookstore and look around, and I never noticed it before, but you've got aisle after aisle after aisle of Christian romance. What I want to talk about today is romance novels. Why do women find these things appealing? And what does it say about us that one of the fastest growing aspects of Christian bookselling is the Christian romance novel? Or, if you want to be a little more sophisticated, Christian historical fiction. And we're going to be talking today with one of the biggest selling authors of this genre, Karen Kingsbury, who's going to tell us what does it mean when a Christian woman reads a Christian romance novel. I also want to talk to a lady with Romance Times magazine who's been in this business for 25 years in every genre of romance novel. And she'll help us to try to get a handle on exactly what is going on with romance novels. Why do these things sell the way they do? What I want to know from you, what does that tell us about the plight of women in our own churches, in our own neighborhoods, in our own communities, that they're seeking this kind of escape in romance novels? Or is it something that's completely harmless? Do you think that Christian romance novels are a good way to edify the church, to disciple believing women, and to reach the lost? Maybe so. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we'll talk about romance novels and evangelical fiction. And it's very timely because right now the Christian Booksellers Association, well, CBA, the group formerly known as the Christian Booksellers Association, is getting ready to meet in Denver with displays everywhere with every kind of product that they're rolling out onto the market, not just books, but, you know, product. The evangelical mints and the evangelical keychains and the evangelical pictures and everything else. And you can bet that Christian romance novels are going to be a major presence at the CBA because it makes a lot of money. It has a lot of people who are interested in this genre. And what I want to know is why? What's the appeal? Maybe there are some of you out there who are Christian women who read Christian romance, maybe Christian men, for all I know. Why do you read this? What is appealing about this genre, and how do you think this genre helps you in your discipleship and your walk with Christ? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But before we do, a couple of items in the news. Of course, in Great Britain, the nation is remembering the anniversary of the July 7th London attacks a year ago when suicide bombers killed 52 people and injured nearly 800. And, of course, the nation is remembering this act and also probably nervous thinking about when's the next attack or will the terrorists be back and how can we be prepared. And also, last night, the issue of war and peace really exploded onto the television screen because of a statewide race in the state of Connecticut where Senator Joe Lieberman, Democrat of Connecticut, used to be the vice presidential nominee of the Democratic Party in 2000, is facing the race of his life. He might lose this primary, might lose this seat, and the issue has everything to do with Iraq. Let's listen to a sample of what went on last night between Senator Lieberman and his opponent, Ned Lamont, on MSNBC's Hardball.
I know George Bush. I've worked against George Bush. I've even run against George Bush, but Ned, I'm not George Bush. So why don't you stop running against him and have the courage and honesty to run against me and the facts of my record?
Joe Lieberman.
In Washington, we're making a lot of bad choices right now. We're losing a lot of our good-paying jobs here in the state of Connecticut, and I wonder about the opportunities for our kids as they get older. And Senator Lieberman, if you won't challenge President Bush and his failed agenda, I will.
Sounds like things got a little bit heated during the debate, and it's going to be really interesting to see how the Democratic voters of Connecticut come down on this issue. Are they going to stand with Joe Lieberman and his support of President Bush on the Iraq War, or are they going to go with an anti-war candidate in Ned Lamont? And what's that going to mean for the general election in 2006? We will keep our eyes on that one. But today, of course, we're not talking about Iraq. We are talking about romance, especially Christian romance novels and Christian historical fiction. And why is this genre so popular? We have on the line an author who is right now probably the most popular writer of Christian historical fiction. She is the author of the new novel Divine, that is kind of a modern retelling, the way I understand it, of the Mary Magdalene story, and it actually takes issue with the Da Vinci Code, but puts it in this kind of context of Christian romantic historical fiction. When our producer went to a local Christian bookstore to pick up a copy of this book, everyone in the bookstore knew exactly who Karen Kingsbury is, and they said, this woman is really at the top of this genre right now. And so we are very glad to have Karen Kingsbury on the line. Karen, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, hi. Thanks so much.
I am wondering, you are writing right now yet another, it looks to be a bestseller, taking the Mary Magdalene theme and bringing it up to date. And I notice when I walk into a Christian bookstore, there are just tons of examples of Christian fiction. Why do you think that this genre is so popular with Christian women?
Well, you know, the most amazing thing is that it's, I think what's happened is it's expanded beyond Christian women. Christian women have known about this genre for a decade, but it's the general population that's finding out that, my goodness, I can read a story and I can have my life changed. I mean, it's that dramatic. It's not just entertaining read, but, you know, it's not just the physical, intellectual, and emotional part of storytelling, but it's the spiritual. And it's actually 70% of my titles are sold outside of the Christian stores now, just because it's become so popular.
So now, do you see an evangelistic angle to your art?
Absolutely. I mean, there's just no question that to me, I just feel blessed to be able to have the chance to write in a way that's telling a story that can change lives. In fact, I've trademarked my fiction, life-changing fiction, because of the hundreds of letters I'm getting from readers every week saying, wow, you should see what God has done in my life now that I've read your story.
Now, some people, Karen, would say that this whole genre kind of feeds on sentimentality and kind of an unbiblical view of romance. How do you avoid that?
Well, you know, my books, I really wouldn't even consider them. I mean, they certainly have a romantic element in the sense that there's a relational element, but definitely not the typical boy meets girl, boy and girl have a trouble, and boy and girl get back together again. It's not that formula romance type thing. Instead, it's I tend to write more contemporary fiction that shows people coming together in a relationship and the issues that can kind of come in the way. That's very biblical, you know, to say, hey, here's two people, here's how things happen to them, and here's how they may have fallen, they may have had tragedy or trial, but ultimately they have hope if they have Christ.
Mm-hmm. So now, are you very explicit in your books about Christ and about the need for faith and about how one comes to faith in Christ and so forth?
Yeah, very much so. And it's interesting because, you know, I probably am more so than a lot of authors in my genre, and yet, you know, I'm selling more. There's sort of maybe a thought that, ooh, be careful how much you put in about Christ or about Scripture because it might deter people. It's been the opposite, where people seem so hungry about it. And I think it's because it's not preachy. This is real life, weaving Scripture into real life situations where, you know, the voice of God is speaking and the Scripture is speaking in the person's heart. And sometimes my characters ignore that, and they will deal with the repercussions of that. Other times they hear it. It's more of a realistic approach. God always seeking, always loving, always true, and us, you know, all over the board.
So it's not the caricature of boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets saved.
Definitely
boy
not.
And girl
no.
Leave happily ever after. Okay. Well, Karen, I have to tell you, it is amazing to see all of these examples of the genre out there, and I certainly wish you great success as you seek to evangelize non-Christian women and readers to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I'd like to know from our readers is, do you think that romance, Christian romance, non-Christian romance, is it a kind of porn for women? as some people would say? Is it something that kind of appeals to the sentiment, appeals to the longing for romance? And if so, what does that say about us? And what does that say about the plight of women in our churches and in our communities? Or is it something that you think the Lord can use to bring people to faith in Christ? Maybe there's some of you out there who are reading romance novels, non-Christian romance novels, Christian historical fiction, whatever. Why do you do it? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. And maybe some of you say, I think this stuff is dangerous. I don't want it in my house. I don't want it in my daughter's hands. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, Christian romance novels and the state of the church. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
It used to be so natural. Talk about forever. What used to be's don't count anymore. They just lay on the floor till we sweep them away.
Baby, I remember all the things you taught me.
I learned how to laugh and I learned how to cry.
Well, I learned how to love and I learned how to.
So you think I could learn how to tell you goodbye?
How to tell you goodbye? You don't bring me flowers.
Hello, America. This is not Fabio. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program, but we are talking about romance and specifically romance and novels. And I have on the line a woman that the New York Times calls the queen of romance and says that she has almost single-handedly propelled the paperback romance genre into the billion-dollar industry that it is today. Catherine Falk, who is the founder and CEO of Romantic Times. Catherine, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Oh, thank you.
I am trying to understand the draw of romance novels. Can you explain to me what it is about the romance novel that appeals to American women?
It's a very nice escape. It's sort of going back to reading Cinderella when you were a child, I guess. They're fairy tales for adults, and they have a very strong conclusion, which is a happy ending, and things get resolved. And you learn a lot. You learn about human relationships. I particularly like historical novels set in Europe. And there's just so much good feelings that you get out of them.
Now, do you think most people who read romance novels are unhappy with their real-life romances and seeking that kind of escape?
Well, I have to tell you, there may not be a Mr. Right, but there is a Mr. Trainable.
Oh. So you think the romance novel actually helps you to create out of your man the kind of man you want?
Well, I think I don't think women take it that seriously, that, you know, any more than men who read James Bond think that, you know, James Bond is really, you know, eating oysters and having the time of his life. I just think it's, you know, there are some guidelines, and a lot of men can learn from the books.
Well, now you wrote a book called How to Write a Romance and Get It Published. So if you're writing a romance novel and you want for it to succeed, how do you do it?
Well, romance novels are very much like fashion. The pendulum swings. Right now, inspirational novels, African-American and multicultural novels are quite popular. Last year would have been something else. But in my magazine, Romantic Times Book Reviews, we review 10 different genres that appeal to women, and we call that the women's fiction market. Historicals, unfortunately, aren't quite as popular as they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But contemporaries, mysteries, inspirationals.
One of the things I found, Catherine, is that right now you have vampire romance novels, werewolf romance novels. I mean, just about everything you can think of.
Well, actually, I think they pushed the envelope on heroes.
Okay.
I remember the first time we had an angel hero, and the first time we had one that had a great sense of humor, the first one that, you know, had some parapsychology background. So they just kind of pushed the envelope on heroes. I don't know where they're going to go. I'm thinking there's going to be some more spiritual books coming out that have to do with people who are very intuitive, people who
you know, believe there are near-life encounters, or near-death encounters, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to be going into a kind of a new agey, but very spiritual. We're having a conference in Houston called Spiritual Pathways with scientists and other people talking about how people seem to have a need for that.
Well, now, I know in kind of your typical Harlequin-type genre, you have sexual explicit, everything goes type of romance. But Christian romance is a big deal these days. As a matter of fact, as an evangelical Christian, when I walk into a Christian bookstore, I'm looking around and seeing aisles and aisles mm-hmm. of Christian historical fiction and romance novels. How does that work? What's the draw for Christian, specifically, romance?
Well, I think it's nice that I think a lot of women want their hero to go to church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, it's just that he has a very spiritual or lifestyle. Maybe at the beginning he doesn't, but at the end, for the happy ending to be, he sort of has to match her in her spiritual work or spiritual yearnings.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they're not as explicit as some of the other lines, but basically the formula is the same, and that's getting an alpha male to commit.
Getting an alpha male to commit. I think that is very telling, Catherine, and not just about the genre, but about the situation of men in America these days.
Right. As I say, there may not be a Mr. Right, but there may be a Mr. Right Now, and he is trainable.
All right. Well, thank you, Catherine Falk. Catherine has explained to us a little bit about what she sees as the appeal of the romance novel, and I tend to think she is right. I think that she actually hit here the key to the success of the romance novel, whether it is Christian or non-Christian, and I think it's kind of sad. Maybe you disagree with me, but I think when she says that what women are looking for when they're looking for these romance novels is an alpha male who can commit, I think that that is exactly right, because we're living in an American context where you have a whole nation of beta males who cannot commit to anything. And notice what she said. She said that you have in Christian romance, you have women looking for a man who will go to church on Sunday, a man who will lead, a man who will make decisions, and a man who will commit himself to Christ. I think what we have here is a nation of women, many of them unhappy and sad, who are really looking for the kind of escape that they can find in these novels. And it's appealing to Christian women. Now, Catherine mentions the fact that, well, you've got men who watch James Bond movies and they don't take that very seriously. Well, yeah, I think, though, you do have some men who are consistently watching shoot 'em up, blow 'em up movies precisely because they feel so powerless. I mean, an occasional movie like that is one thing, but we all know those guys who sit around playing video games because it's the only thing they can have control over. It's an escape, but there's a reason for the escape. I think the same thing is true with Christian romance and with non-Christian romance. We have women who are looking for something that they're not finding, and so they're finding it in the aisles of our stores, and we have more than enough people who are willing to sell it to them. What do you think? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What is the reason why our women in our churches are looking for romance novels? Some of the women in your church are sitting down right now reading Harlequin romance novels. Some of them are reading Christian romance novels. And the thing I found very interesting was a book I read this past week by a woman by the name of Lynn Neal, who's a secular author, who's a scholar, who's looking at Christian romance and Christian fiction. And she says, actually, what's happening here is you have women who want to see Romans 8:28. They want to see that all things work together for the good, and that's the reason why they're drawn to Christian romance novels, because you get to the end of the book, and whatever the perils, whatever the pitfalls, at the end of the book, everything works out for the good. The man and the woman are together, they're happy, they've gotten married, they've kissed, and they've ridden off into the sunset. Problem is, does that give you a view of romance that's really Christian? I mean, what happens after the sunset? I mean, what happens after the marriage? Do we have women who are escaping into something that just isn't realistic? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, Christians and Romance Novels. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Yeah. no one else will do. Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you.
My name is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I hate that song. As a matter of fact, I don't know a single man alive who actually enjoys singing that song. It sounds like she's singing it to Fabio, but she's not. She's singing it to Jesus, and churches all over the country are singing that kind of thing. I actually think that that is where a lot of the appeal of Christian romance comes from, is the idea of American Christianity, which is sentimental, romantic, treacly, kitschy. Maybe I'm wrong. What do you think? What's the value of the Christian romance novel? Is this something that Christians ought to do in order to try to reach lost women and to disciple Christian women? Or is this just another example of American Christianity selling out to what will make a dollar? And why do women resonate with this? What does that say about us, men? What does it say about our wives and our daughters? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Natalia on the line calling from Nebraska, listening on KMMJ. Natalia, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us today.
Yes, I was calling because I did have a comment. I have read some of Karen's books, as well as Robin Lee Hatcher and several others. And I've used them in the workplace to introduce some conversation and open up possibility to witness to my coworkers. And it has been
Natalia, I think.
Cool.
So it's worked. You've been able to actually have conversations begin about Christ.
Right.
Okay.
And particularly. Maybe not so much of the romance side of things, but more of the experience as women, some of the things that we just deal with every day, whether it's raising our kids or relationship-wise with our spouses or even others around us.
Okay. Natalia says that Christian romance has actually been a way that she has been able to open up conversations with her coworkers and evangelize them to Christ. What do you think? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Christian romance, Christian historical fiction, is this just another example of American Christianity trying to make a dollar, or is this a real tool for evangelism and discipleship? 877-893-TALK. We have Heidi on the line. Heidi, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, Dr. Moore. Hey, I got a couple of comments.
Okay.
I'm in complete agreement with everything that you've said so far. And I think it's important that I say this as a still single, almost 40-year-old who's still waiting for the man that God's going to send me.
Mm-hmm.
I know in my heart that this man is not some sort of piece of fantasy fiction waiting to be, I don't use as a, it's not only escape, but it's not a healthy escape. I think another point I want to make was that just because we call something Christian doesn't mean that it's of God.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you have a so-called Christian bookstore doesn't mean that everything in there is of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the second, your second guest, I was offended that she, and I've heard women use this same word before, you don't use the word train when you're talking about a human being.
Right.
Okay, men are not here to be trained.
That's not exactly the Ephesians 5 model, is it, Heidi?
I'm sorry?
That's not exactly the Ephesians 5 model, is it?
No, not even close. And with all due respect to the caller that said that she was using this as a witness tool,
mm-hmm.
if you dive into the Bible, you see that not only are the strong, loving, caring men in there, but also the romance and everything else, it's all in there. We don't have to go to other pieces when we've got true stories in a living Bible, plain and simple.
All right. Well, thank you, Heidi. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I agree with Heidi a lot on this. I think that the idea of a man as trainable, and not only that, but the idea of this idealized, escapist version of a man, I think is problematic. It doesn't matter whether or not you have a Christian veneer on it. I think the escape itself can be dangerous in the very same way that you have men who have this idealized view of the woman in the bikini on the cover of the magazine that they see walking through the bookstore, a woman who her idea of a man is this flawless character who comes in and sweeps her off of her feet. What does that really tell us about the real-life Ephesians 5 dynamic that God has created us to be? Is this really healthy? And what does it really tell us about what our wives and daughters, church members, are longing for? Where are we failing? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Christian romance novels, helpful, harmful? Let me know. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Right now, while we're talking, there are women all over America reading romance novels about a man on horseback coming to sweep them away, take them off to a fairyland where they are living in a magic castle, living happily ever after. And then there are other women who are reading Christian romance novels in which they're dreaming about a man who will come and sweep them away and go to church with them every Sunday for the rest of their lives. What I want to know is that because of the state of American Christian men? I think it is. I really don't blame women for buying this kind of genre, and I'm sure there are good examples of this genre out there. I really haven't read a whole lot of it. But I think the reason that it hits an audience is because we have so many sorry and indecisive men in this culture and even in our churches. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Is Christian romance, Christian romantic fiction, a good vehicle to reach women with the gospel of Jesus Christ? We have Kitty on the line calling, listening on WFGW in Waynesville, North Carolina. Kitty, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for taking my call.
Glad to. Yeah.
I have a couple of comments. I was struck by your first author's comment about weaving scripture into the stories.
Mm-hmm.
That I have really appreciated that in some of the books that I've read. I was offended by the second author as well about men being trainable. That's really the Holy Spirit's job.
Mm-hmm.
But my main comment is for those of us who had no healthy role models of how to relate to your husband spiritually, some of these books give us that knowledge, and I realize that the Bible has that too. Some of these books have day-to-day examples of how to relate to our husbands and be better wives.
Now, Kitty, in these books, do they have men who really act like real live men? I mean, do they have men who are jerks and men who forget to help you clean up the dishes, and you know, or is it an idealized picture of what a man ought to be?
Well, some of them are idealized, and some of them are day-to-day pictures of what actually happens.
All right. Well, Kitty says that there's a real helpful value with some of these Christian romantic novels in teaching women who've never seen a man and a woman in Christ, Christian men and women relate to one another. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I suspect that Kitty may be right. I think that there may be a lot of women who read Christian romance for precisely the reason she's talking about. They grew up in homes where they had moms and dads who hated one another and who fought all the time, and they want to see a picture of what a Christian husband and wife or a Christian man and woman, how they relate to one another. I just am not sure that that's the best way to do it. I think, again, that is showing us our failure as churches in applying what the Apostle Paul tells us in Titus chapter 2, to have older women who are teaching and instructing younger women on what it means to be wives and mothers. I mean, why is it that we have women who need to look to Christian romance in order to see a picture of that? Why aren't they seeing that in our churches? What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-TALK. We have Tom on the line. And Tom, now you are the third male voice that we have heard on this program so far, besides myself and Neil Diamond. So you're a brave man, and welcome you to the show today.
Well, I can tell you, thank you, Dr. Moore, for your time. And I could honestly say I am married very happily to a very precious Christian lady who's a gift from God. Her name is Kay. I'm sitting in my driveway in a few moments, about ready to embrace her. But I just wanted to mention that I am very concerned about the use of things like romantic novels to promote the gospel message, because number one is, whenever we supplement the word of Christ, we are actually supplanting the word of Christ. We are substituting the gospel with something that perhaps is an idealized form of perhaps an author's imagination, or perhaps what the market may be requiring. The thing is, we have the infallible Word of God, and if we want to evangelize the world, the gospel calls us to use the Word of God. I mean, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. It doesn't say use marketing or other techniques to attempt to reach people. We are supposed to proclaim the gospel, the true gospel, Jesus Christ. And novels, romantic novels and fiction novels like this will tend to dilute the gospel, actually detract from what God's plan is for relationships and marriage, because what really counts in a marriage is what happens after the I do's happen, not when the couple rides off into the sunset.
Right. And, Tom, I have to tell you, that's my fear, is frankly that you have a lot of hurting women who are comparing their husbands or their potential husbands to the men in these books who, yeah, they may have some pitfalls along the way, but in the end, they fall in love with the girl and they get saved and everything is bright and happy after that. That's not the way real life works. And that's not the picture of marriage or the picture of life that the Bible gives to us. And I think it can be confusing and even hurtful. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Lisa on the line. Lisa, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Hello, thank you.
Good to have you with us.
I just have a comment. I believe that there's a lot of validity in things that everyone has said. Myself as a Christian woman, you know, I don't know any girl from, you know, a little girl on up to a grown woman who doesn't like a romance. For me, for the sheer entertainment of it, and choosing a Christian romance would just be for that reason, for a more wholesome choice of entertainment, you know, and nothing more, nothing, you know, like witnessing, you know, just for my own enjoyment.
So you're saying, as opposed to buying a secular romance novel, which is going to have a lot of impure and non-Christian ideas, you would go with a Christian romance novel instead.
Right, and with no other reasoning than that, just that, you know, I like it for entertainment and it's a better choice.
Okay, all right, Lisa says it's just a cleaner version of an entertainment choice. My question is, why is this entertainment choice so popular? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We're talking about Christian romance novels. Why is it that our women, Christian women, like them? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program.
Joy we share as we carry
that's not romance. I don't know what is. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. Our guest, Catherine Falk. The romance, Romantic Times, I just found out in her bio, she actually is the person who discovered Fabio 10 years ago. Now, if we had had this interview 10 years ago, my entire career path could have been different. I mean, I think I'm an alpha male who can commit, don't you? Romance novels, the Christian genre. Well, what are we to make of this? We have Gail, who is listening on WHCB in Bluff City, Tennessee. Gail, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you.
What's your thought today?
Well, I think Christian novels do have a very important part because I like to read a clean novel.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as romance novels, I think they just set everybody up for a big fall because they're just, you know, too idealistic and impossible to meet.
How so?
Well, you know, everybody is, even though they make mistakes, it all works out in the end, and everybody is perfectly happy, and it's just not idealistic.
Yeah.
Any romance novel, to me, is just, you know, setting people up
yeah.
to expect more than what's out there.
Yeah, I honestly agree with you, Gail. I think there are a lot of Christian women who are sitting there reading about Rocco and thinking, you know, look at this guy sitting next to me over on the Lazy Boy. He just isn't cutting it. And I think that part of that is the responsibility of Christian men. We had a caller who called in who couldn't stay with us through the break who said, you know, well, if women won't follow, why should we lead? How is it the fault of men? Well, I can tell you why it's the fault of men, because the Bible places that responsibility on men to lead. And the fact that there's this vacuum out there that's being filled by romance novels of all things, even Christian romance novels, I think that tells us something about where we're falling down. And about what our women in our churches are looking for, it's a man who will lead and who will pay attention. And that's kind of sad. It's sad for non-Christians, but it's especially sad for those who have the oracles of Christ. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. And this is the Albert Mohler Program. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about the issues that matter for the kingdom of Christ. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
We're expecting you and love, life's sweetest reward. Let it flow.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.